Random thought. Is it okay for friends to stay overnight in the home that you share with your significant other? And I'm asking this because Kiara shared, she's the daughter of Karen Clark Shared, who is, you know, part of the legendary gospel Clark sisters, right? And she was on Page Six and doing an interview with Page Six, and she was asked about advice that her mom gave her. And one of the piece of advice her mom gave her was that, you know, don't let people be too close to your husband. And so she's like, you know what? I'd rather pay for somebody to stay at a hotel rather than stay in the house with me and my husband. Why? Because, you know, even in our faith, when we share, you're supposed to share things with people. I'm not sharing my husband, so we ain't sharing the same space. And she got a lot of flack behind it. And then some people supported it. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I'm not having anybody over there. And some people are like, so is it that you don't trust him or you don't trust them?
Yeah, my question is, what kind of friends do you have? You know, that's like I'm trying to think. I have guy friends. Let's just say I have guy acquaintances that I would not trust being around, whatever, because I know the type of men they are. But that's why they're acquaintances. They're not friends.
Right. They're
not going to stay at my house. But if I have friends that would say, yeah, take the guest room. That's what it's for. Guests.
Right.
So I find that weird, and I'm wondering, like, do you not trust your husband, or do you not? My guess is she don't trust her husband,
right?
And then, like, what do you? What, that would be bold. Like, she must be a sound sleeper.
That's a bad man.
Yeah, she's a sound. When I'm out, I'm out. So I don't trust nobody.
So you wouldn't have a problem trusting somebody over there in that case.
No, because I would hope that someone I brought over, someone I would trust, and I would trust, you know, if I had a significant other, I would trust her,
right,
as well. But that's a weird statement, you know. I wouldn't let just some randoms stay at my house. I totally get that, but
oh yeah, no,
you're not gonna let your own friends stay at your house.
You see, I have very few friends and people I consider friends. Lots of acquaintances, but friends, yeah. Now, and the one thing I can say about this, first of all my friends know, and you know this very well, I'm crazy as fuck. So I don't think you'd be crazy enough to even try it, right? And of course, again, it's this trust part of it too. So you got to think about, like you just said, trust in your significant other, trust in your friends. And now the one thing I would say is, you know, considering that the dynamics of our house have changed and we got a young daughter who, and my wife and my daughter go to sleep very early. So therefore, I know me and my friends like to, you know, we're going to hang out. We're going to be loud. We're going to laugh. We're going to drink. Now, we may have to go out and drink and then just come back and, hey, all right, the guest room's there. Peace out, right? But because otherwise, you don't want to wake the family up. It's not like I have a mansion where we'll be on the east wing and we'll be fine away from the family, right? No. So, but other than that, I think that's the only difference, I think, where it may come into the point of, all right, understanding the dynamics of the house and what it is. Like for you, if you're in the guest room downstairs, my daughter wakes up very early. You're going to wake up when she starts watching the Wiggles on TV and starts dancing and prancing around upstairs. And all you hear is the thunder upstairs. And you're going to be like, well, God damn, what time do people sleep around here?
Like, hey, it's too early for all that. It's too early for all that.
And then she is my daughter. So you know what she's going to say? This is my house.
You're a visitor.
You get a hotel.
I would just sleep in the basement. That way you can make all the noise upstairs you want. I'll just sleep in the basement. So I'm good. Now, here's what I wonder about this story is, does it matter what your friend looks like? So like if her friend is Halle Berry and Halle's like, hey, look, I'm tired. Yeah, you might want to get Halle a hotel room because your husband is going to be sitting there taking no-dos, drinking coffee, just wide awake. What's up, Halle? But if it's like Precious, you know, or you just like, yeah, girl, you can crash here. You can sleep in our bed. We don't care.
What are you
like,
trying
does
to
it matter
say?
What they look like to determine if they can stay at your house or not?
Now, guys have been said, it's been said that guys don't care what a woman looks like. A man will sleep with anything. So if he's going to do it, he's going to do it.
Well, true. True. I don't know. I just wonder, like, does the woman, like, doesn't matter. You're a female. No, you can't stay here. But if you're what he's not attracted to, Mm-hmm. Are you okay then? I don't know.
Yeah, it does give off a level of insecurity, and at the same time, there's a level of there's some people who are too secure, and that's how shit happens. So at the same time, I can see both ways, and there's nothing wrong with not, like you said, if there's a hard line in the sand saying nobody ever sleeps over, then that's a problem. Because you can say, oh, well, only family will do you wrong too. Let's get that straight. we've all seen Soul Food.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there's just obviously something has happened for her to have said that out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on page 6, there's something that has happened. That's her way of letting all these bitches know. Come to my house, you better bring a credit card because you're going to need to get a hotel. I don't care how drunk, we'll get you an Uber and take your drunk ass to the hotel. But you're not staying here.
To be fair, she's got money, so she can afford to put you up at a hotel. Now, she also didn't say which hotel it is. So depending on your level of friendship, it could be the Motel 6.
So that takes me to my other question. Does Halle Berry get like the Doubletree and Precious gets the Motel 6?
Hey, Motel 6 isn't that bad. I heard they leave the light on for you. Oh, my God. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one. We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 75. Be sure to like, subscribe, definitely leave a comment.
Just passed another milestone and looking to hit a next one. So go ahead, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell another friend. Not only look, but subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. There you go.
Bing.
Yo, so, you know, Super Bowl week and, you know, lots happening then. Of course, we're recording this before the game, so we're not gonna be able to tell you what happened in the game. But congratulations to the Bengals on winning the Super Bowl.
Congratulations, Matt Stafford. You finally did it.
One of us is right. But something else that was making a lot of news, of course, is, you know, the coaching vacancies have been filled. Like, your team finally hired a coach. Are you happy with it?
I don't know yet. I mean, I'm still not over the breakup of Sean Payton. I'm still dealing with that. You know, right. So I don't know. I can't be like, yeah, I'm excited. I'm still like, you know, it's like someone breaks your heart and then you meet somebody else. You're still heartbroken, you know. So, yeah. Sean, I'm like, I don't know yet. So I just have to wait and see what his game plan is. I'm still worried about the offense, and he's a defensive coordinator. I'm like, what are we doing about the offense?
So basically, if you had to choose, would you say that this coaching hire is Halle Berry or Precious?
I can't say that he could stay in the guest room yet. I gotta see what happens.
Because you don't sound excited about this at all, so I just want to point that out. You know, one other, of course, we're not hiring coaches, even though we did hire Anthony Lynn, great, as an assistant head coach. But one of the things that happened for us, and this was almost right there in the same lane of here's what's potentially possibly going to happen, because our offensive coordinator was interviewing with the Miami Dolphins, and they actually hired him. So Mike McDaniel, it was expected that he was probably going to get hired away, and he did. He got hired as the Miami Dolphins head coach, and then everything went left real quick because it came out that he's I think they said he was multiracial first, and people are like, what? And then they're looking at the pictures and they go, wait a minute, okay, you know, I could see something, maybe. And then, because he almost looks like Mark Anthony, like he's probably Mark Anthony's illegitimate son, right? But come to find out, I think he was raised in like Oregon, his mom's white, his dad's black. And you know, once this comes out, what's happening at the very first press conference?
Now, I think people identify me as something, but I identify as a human being. And my dad's black. So whatever you want to call it, I know there's a lot of people with a shared experience, but it doesn't make, you know, it's weird that it comes up because the you know, I've just tried to be a good person.
You can tell he's never really been asked that question before.
You know, that's a good question. You know, I like that. I'm a human being. What is that? The Elephant Man. I am not an animal. I'm a human being.
He's like, Jesus Christ, ask me about Tua. Ask me about the running game. Ask me about the defense. I'm an offensive coordinator. Ask me about something. Ask me about special teams. Don't ask me this.
Yeah, just, you know, it's shared experiences and, you know, my dad's black, so whatever that means.
Well, so
it means you got some Joe Rogan in you. That's what it means.
And if you haven't figured out what that means just now, you'll get it. At some point, you realize when we talk about these Joe Rogans, why we say Joe Rogan.
This Joe Rogan over here doesn't know how to explain being biracial.
At all. Yeah. Like, Denzel looking at him like, my Joe Rogan.
Yeah, my Joe Rogan.
Yo, but you know, the funny thing about this is, so after stumbling through that, he ends up sitting down with one-on-one the next day with another reporter. And this is, I don't know if it got any better, really.
Elaborate a little bit more on what you were saying yesterday, that you identify as a human being.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked that.
No, you're not.
First and foremost, I'm biracial. And my mom's white, my dad's black. And I've been that way my whole life. But the most important thing is I've been extremely proud of that my whole life. Extremely proud. It is a unique experience, being a race and then fully acknowledging that most outside observers, when they perceive you, identify you as something other than the race you are.
He should have said, okay, question for you. What is the chorus of Lift Every Voice? Do you know the lyrics to Lift Every Voice?
Well, most people don't. So the best thing would be a question that we use, especially in the cash grab sometimes, is just like, what are the first words of the song commonly known as the Black National Anthem? You'd be surprised how many people don't know the answer.
It's such an interesting story because this is not his fault. He didn't come out and say, hey, guys, Miami Dolphins aren't racist because they hired me. And my dad's half black. I feel like the Miami Dolphins found out that his dad was black. And they're like, oh, really? Hey, we need to put you out here. See, we're not racist. We have a black friend right here. We're good. Because hey, talk about it. Tell your story. And so now he's like, well, crap.
And it's unfair to him because, you know, I noticed a lot of black people coming down like, oh, well, you know, you've never had to identify as black or just coming down on him in kind of negative way. And my thing for it is like, he didn't ask for that. He didn't push it out that way or saying that, oh, well, this is they only hired him so they can say they hired somebody black. He actually has merit. The hire has merit in the fact of he is a great coach. He talked to the 49er players. They're sad to see him go. And they talk about the respect and his knowledge of the game and everything else. You see him. Now you get a full body shot of him. He has not played a day of football in his life, okay? You can look at him and tell. But he knows the X's and O's. But it's interesting because a buddy of mine, Big Med, he said, I feel bad for the guy, honestly. He's lived his life identifying mostly as white, and that's fine. He can pass. If no one said his dad was black, you would think he was white or related to Mark Anthony, which when you look at his picture, he kind of looks like Mark Anthony. He said, but the black experience is not one shit experience. He was living his white life with his white wife and white kids, and the NFL shook up his world by letting folks know his daddy's black, so that covers the minority hire. Just like you said, the Dolphins found out, they're like, light bulb.
Yeah. Wait, you're 1/18th black? Done. Check
Come
box.
Here, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, I wonder if he has like a, does he have a relationship with his dad? Is his dad still around? Because yeah, he does not look what we would think, you know, externally as black, right? But I do think that this is not his fault, and the Dolphins just putting him out on blast. And now he has to tell this story. And then now his kids are going to be like, their friends at school are like, so that means you got a little Joe Rogan in you too, huh?
And don't know. I can't say this for sure, but I don't know that his dad was around a whole lot. I mean, because he listened to further in that conversation. He said, you know, even growing up and as a teenager, you know, people I saw me and thought of me as this, which means all they saw was him and his white mom. They never saw the dad. Now, he did say, too, that, you know, his mom had experienced racism when she married a black man. And of course, his dad had experienced racism, but he never did. So as a kid, he never did, or nothing that he remembers. And then if his dad wasn't around and he can easily pass, there's nobody questioning that. So therefore, it's you're right. It's I don't think he's ever had to just have that conversation before. And I think that was quite evident because obviously he aced the interview with the Dolphins. He's good at what he does. He knows how to talk to the players. But then you bring race into question and that shit went downhill real fast. So,
yeah, guys. So we have a little bit more in common than I've shared in the past. I, too, know what it's like to be discriminated against.
Oh, my God. I feel for him, man. Because, you know, I was happy for him in this sense. I was unhappy because I knew he was going to take some of our key players and some of our key coaches. And that's happening. But it's, you know, for this to be the first press conference, man. Well, the good thing for him, it can only go up from here.
True. I mean, he can only get better. But, yeah, that was, you could tell he's just awkward. Like, how do I tell? He didn't, like, get to one of his black players, be like, hey, so I have this interview. What should I say to make this all good?
Look, the problem is if he did and somebody was like, I'll tell you what to do. If somebody asked you that question, you say, Joe Rogan, please. What kind of question is that?
I'm sick and tired of these Joe Rogans questioning my heritage. I'm as real as the next Joe Rogan. Try me. I'm the wrong Joe Rogan to fuck with.
Oh, shit. Oh, dear God. Joe Rogan's gonna sue our ass. You know, speaking of somebody else who was backpedaling, right? We talked about this a little bit last week with your guy, Ted Cruz. And it was interesting to see this even evolve even more because Mitch McConnell came out and this whole January 6th is showing a rift in the Republican Party, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw this thing on CNN.
Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell this week tried to convey the reality about January 6th.
It was a violent insurrection for the purpose of trying to prevent the peaceful transfer of power after a legitimately certified election from one administration to the next.
But many in his party won't have it.
Do you agree with the Republican leader's characterization of what happened on January 6th?
It was mostly a peaceful protest.
I don't know where that I would go that far, but it was something that we're not proud of.
But not a violent insurrection.
Oh, it was violent. I just don't, I wouldn't call it an insurrection, a violent protest.
Thank you. Senator Ted Cruz, who used to refer to the events of January 6th as a
violent terrorist attack
until getting blowback from the right, rejected the GOP leader's comments.
The word insurrection is politically charged propaganda. I think it is a mistake for Republicans to repeat the political propaganda of Democrats and the corporate media.
Your guy.
This is why I'm on my crusade that we got to vote this dude out. Just totally just flip-flops, right? You said it was a violent terrorist attack, but now you don't want to use the word insurrection because you don't want to upset your base. That's the whole point of this. You don't want to upset your base. So what do you expect? I'm proud that Mitch McConnell still said it and even said that in the attempts to overthrow I believe what he said about the election. But he's pretty saying that it was valid. It was the votes were right. So good for Mitch McConnell. You know, finally stuck his turtle head out and said something good.
But to his point, because, you know, people go, oh, he praised Mitch McConnell. Don't forget all the other shit he did. But Mitch McConnell will tell you, I am pro-police, I'm pro, and I'm anti-crime and anti-violence. So I will say this. I have no problem with him standing in that. I still will never forgive him for coming out and going, our main goal is to be to make sure that Barack Obama is a one-term president. We will become the party of no. You know, that bullshit to me is still why you'll never hear me praise Mitch McConnell on anything. But I will say I'm glad to see that he's not as hypocritical as everybody else, in the sense of, if I am this, I'm pro-police, don't attack the police, even if it's my party that does it, I'm going to call them out, which is what everyone needs to do.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I thought it was good, but I'm not surprised that Ted Cruz does all that, and it's propaganda. Just stop it, Ted. Just go to Cancun and shut up.
Look, Ted Cruz got called to the principal's office. We talked about this before. He got called to the principal's office, and once he did, he was like, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. And now he's out there doing what he's supposed to do. Why? Because he's got to stay fired up on the base, because the problem is, if he doesn't, he's not going to get what he wants. And he knows that Texas is ready for this. Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas will flex us. And he's going to be right back in there, because he's saying the things that they want to hear. Now, those Republicans that don't agree with him, one of the things that I heard this this theory, that a lot of them that don't agree with Trump, they're not saying anything now. But as soon as the deadline passes for somebody to run against them, then they can come up and speak and say what they want. Because if they don't, if they say something before then, he'll just endorse somebody else to go against them and kick them out of their seat.
Right.
And the key thing is power. They all want power, and nobody wants to lose their seat. And that's why they're all bowing down to the Don.
Bowing down to the Don. My lord.
My lord.
All right, so onto this bullshit. You had sent me a story that we got on the RGRTpod at Gmail. And it was about a woman actually, you know, records herself making fun of an interview question. So this woman is doing some companies, when you do the application, there's like a video interview where they ask you a question and you record your response. And so they want
to... So this is an actual real thing, because I've never had to do this.
Yes, this is a real thing, that you can actually have an application, do a video interview with somebody where you ask them a question, and then they have a time amount to say it, and it records them. So you do it a lot for, let's say, call center roles, customer service, that type of deal, because you want to see, does this person have the personality and all that.
And you'd have to waste the time actually interviewing them yourself.
Exactly. So you just weed them out. Okay. So you just watch the videos, just kind of weed them out.
So the question is, stupid, cheesiest question I've ever read in my life. All right. What is your impression of SkyWest company culture, and how does that resonate with you? So we at work were just talking about mission statements. You know how like every company has a mission statement?
Yeah, like what they stand for.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was going to say, but I just can't like word this correctly. And I'm like, you have to record yourself saying it, so it's so awkward.
Right.
But anyway, so I was going to say, my impression of SkyWest's culture is based off of the mission statement that you guys have. Wait, hold on. Let me say it. Hold on. Let me practice. I'm going to set you down. Okay, so I was going to say, oh no. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it was recording. I was practicing. So I was going to say, sorry.
Now I work in HR, and I'm just like, okay, you have the ability to re-record your answer. So I call BS on it, but it was funny to me. But I'm just like, you know, you could have recorded. Don't act like that was submitted.
Because that's the story that's out there, that's what she submitted. But and you're saying you not, because for me, who's never seen this, I'm like, that's kind of weird that it just starts and then you have to answer it immediately. But I've never had to do an interview like that. And you're saying bullshit. You didn't hit submit. You probably re-recorded your answer anyway.
Possibly, yeah, because you can like replay it, and she could have recorded herself replaying the deal. I don't know, but I just don't believe that she submitted that that video. If she did, great. But again, I just, there's a lot of people on TikTok that just want to get a lot of follows and subscribers, which, you know, hey, I can't hate the game because we do the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
Be sure to subscribe and leave a comment. So I can't hate on her, but at least we're not making fake videos to try
tell
to
friend,
garner.
Tell a friend too.
Yeah, we're not making fake videos to try to garner attention, but I just don't buy it because you can totally re-record your answer before it submits. It's not automatic. It's rare. I've seen a software that does that. So,
yeah. So, I think because even one of the questions you brought to me when you first saw this, when I sent this over to you, you were like, well, why would she be recording herself? And I'm like, so this is the playback that you speak of, probably right before she decided to actually re-record the answer.
And, right.
But, I get the humor in it and the fact of, here it is, you're practicing, all of a sudden, crap, this thing was recording. The worst thing, and it happens in radio, when people have checked their voicemails on the air, because it's one of the reasons why, for me, when I was on the air, I always kept the studio dark. Unless I was doing morning radio, otherwise I don't want to fall asleep that early. But, you know, like doing afternoons, I kept the studio dark so I could see everything on the board. I can see what's lit, what's open, and what's not. And I never left any pots open because the easiest thing to do is answer the phone call on the air. And I've had people who were on the air and having a phone conversation with a girl they're not supposed to be having a conversation with because their girlfriend is not the one they're on the phone with. And I remember this one guy called up like, yo, you're on the air. He goes, yeah, I know I'm on the air. No, you're on the air. It's the wildest thing. Because you're listening to this train wreck happening live, right? So I can feel what this person probably thought when they initially recorded it. And the person on the phone was probably like, no, you could probably re-record. Like, but first, record it for TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, this popped up this week too. I saw this one, and it's actually, I think Cam Newton, well, we know he's probably not going back in the NFL this year, right? He's in Atlanta. He's got a cigar bar in Atlanta. Really nice spot too. And it seems like he's about to do a podcast because why not? Everybody is, right? Hell, we're here. and one of his first guests is Brittany Renner.
Let's keep it funky now. Let's keep it funky. Like, I'm Cam Newton, right? Okay. And I ain't gonna lie. I'm not about to hit no DM with no Brittany talking about, hey, yo, what's good? What's popping? Where you at? You in Atlanta? I see you in Atlanta. Boom, slide through.
But why not?
Because I don't want to end up in your book.
I love this as a promo material just because the look on her face, one. Two, what's the first thing you asked after you saw that piece?
What was her response?
Right.
What was her response to that?
Because, you know, Brittany Renner, as much as people have a lot of interesting things to say about her, the one thing we know is she is not afraid of the confrontation. And she can speak well, like what she did with those guys in the Fresh and Fit podcast. And when she just went, oh, all the things you said about me, I'm here. Talk to me. What is it? And then just read them completely. And I thought, you know, so she's handy with hers. I think he caught off guard with that, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some interviews with her, and I just don't get it. I get it. People want their fame. And they'll do whatever it takes to do it. You know, you tried to go the route of trying to sleep with athletes and entertainers, and hopefully that gets you that fame that you want on top of building up your own brand. But then what you do to kick it to the next level, since none of the athletes and entertainers want you long term, you write a book and you tell everybody about who you slept with and all these stories about them. I'm like, why would you do that? But that's what you use to get famous. It's almost like, what's her name? Superhead that did that book?
I'm about to say, that's where it's, think about it. Superhead started that trend of it, right? Not the sleeping with all these different people trend of it, but she wrote the book and people were all about it. I mean, and her roster is long, wide, and diverse, you know, from serious, from all the rappers, you know, going back to Tupac all the way down to Bow Wow and Lil Wayne. And then, you know, even with Eddie Winslow, not his real name, obviously, but even Bill Maher. Like, she dated Bill Maher for a while. And that's, you look at where she's been, but she has her, she had her fame. She had her, how many of them, 15 minutes, probably 25 minutes of fame.
And she made her money, and like, you do you. I just, and I think, I guess you can do that because information comes so quickly that it'll be the topic of conversation, and then people forget about it in a week. Right? It's like when people go viral, some crazy story happens, people forget about it in a week because something else happens. I just wonder, like, why would you, you know what I mean? I just don't get it. And I think about these people that have kids. When the kids get older and they want to, like, Google, you know, either IMDb or look at their Wikipedia of their mom because apparently she's famous, has a whole bunch of followers, and you realize, oh, she's famous because, oh, she likes to do them things.
let's be honest, Terrell. There shouldn't be judgment here, because if you could go ahead and knock down Halle Berry, Mariah Carey, Beyonce, Kelly Rowland, name anybody, Christina Aguilera, all these folks. If you could knock them all down and write a book about it,
I wouldn't write a book about it because I'm a gentleman. So I would not write a book about it.
Let me back away from this.
I mean,
this,
there's going to be some,
before the lightning strikes.
There's going to be some selfies. I'll have some footage, but there might be a video or two that won't get leaked, but I'm not going to write a book about it. So there's that.
My days as an American gigolo.
Yeah. I just wouldn't do it. But I think for some of these women, it's like your kids are going to be looking at you like, wow, mom, you've been through a whole lot of Joe Rogans.
You got a whole list of Rogans.
Is there a Joe Rogan you didn't sleep with?
Which one of these Joe Rogans is my daddy? Yeah. Oh, shit. Here we go again. Let's get out of here, man. Hey, don't forget, we drop the regular audio episodes every Monday. Video episodes drop on Tuesday. And on Wednesdays, we're back at it again. Season 14, Married at First Sight, Boston.
Yeah, I just threw up a little.
It's going to be interesting this week to see what happens when they move into the apartments. It sounds like, at least from the title of it this week, it looks like Alyssa and Chris is finally going to come to a head, and they're probably going to be done after this week. But, of course, they could be just, you know, showing us a curveball, and then, you know, it's going
to
be.
I think it's a curveball. Because we all want it to be done, but why would you do that? Because we keep watching to wait and see what's going to happen with Alyssa and Chris. All the other couples are just like, whatever. But Alyssa and Chris, like, what's going on? Like, when is it going to come to a head?
What I find interesting, too, is the divide between Jasmina and Michael. There are people who are going, well, Jasmina is just like Alyssa. I've seen so many different people saying this. Jasmina is just like Alyssa. She's just more polite. She's just more professional. She's just not as mean. And other people are like, yeah, Michael's a bum. I mean, he thought that little sob story about getting beat up on the bus was going to get him some love. And other people saying, we don't know what happens when the cameras aren't there. He may be overly aggressive to her, and that he's two-faced in that when the cameras are there, he's one way, and when they're not, he's another. So it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out.
Who knows? Yeah, I just want it to hurry up and play out so I can be done.
Can this be over next week?
Yeah. I wish you could just like binge watch it and not have to wait every week for an episode. Just binge it all.
Are you sure you want to say that? Because there is a show, Love is Blind, on Netflix that actually you can binge watch.
No.
Just say. Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you've seen on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.